Welcome to the Metal Hammer podcast number 45. I'm Mo, I'm here with Ellen Jonathan. How are you doing, guys?
Pretty good.
That's what I like to hear. Oh, you got a hey. You didn't ask the question. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
Good. I'm glad.
Thanks for asking.
Tis the season to be well. Go buy the Slayer issue. It's out now and it is so good. We've got, over 30 pages of Slayer content in the main magazine or something?
Too many pages. Too many to count, I would say.
Yeah, too many Slayer pages to count. If you're in the UK, it also comes with a giant poster that has the big fan collage that's on the cover, so you can spot yourself in an even bigger size than normal. It also comes with the Slayer book, featuring over 100 pages of Slayer interviews through the years. And in the magazine itself, we count down our top 50 albums of 2018, and there's even way more shit in there than that, so go get it, it's really good. What's been going on? What have you been up to?
I went to see A Perfect Circle at Wembley.
Oh yeah, how was that?
Bit weird.
Already played once in the UK, did a UK tour earlier in the year already.
Yeah.
Played Brixton twice, didn't they? So already played like a lot of seats across the UK this year.
Yeah, I think those Brixton shows and that tour was pretty special because they hadn't played over here for 14 years. And I went to the Brixton shows, both of them, and I think a lot of people also went to the two shows. Fans of the band just wanted to go and see them twice. And think somebody somewhere probably overestimated the popularity of the band, put them in Wembley, and Wembley's what, 12,500 cap, I think?
Yeah, right.
And there are probably about 5,000 or 6,000 people there.
Right.
I can't, you know, obviously it's difficult to judge, but it was half empty. So there was quite a strange atmosphere going in just because you knew that it was sort of a big arena show, and it felt just a bit sad that it was so under attended, really.
It is a bit weird for a band, even that had been away for a long time, to do. Again, not just to make it totally London-centric, but as an example, to do 10,000 seats in London over 2 days and then come back to try to do 10,000 seats again, like, four months later.
Yeah, it's very soon. And I'm still not quite sure what the reception to that record has been. I mean, again, I know we've talked about this before, you have a lot of critical acclaim for it.
Ranks very highly in the Metal Hammer Albums of the Year list.
It is.
Which you can go read right now.
You know, I still feel like it's... I love the other records they put out a lot more than this one. So I don't know, it was weird going in. I was excited to see them again because I really enjoyed the Brixton shows. They had a similar kind of stage setup, even though it was an arena, kind of similar production. Billy, it's basically Billy Howardell's band, he writes the music, and he was loving it. He was, you know, right down the front of the stage the whole time, moving about. He's kind of a focal point, really, because if you know Perfect Circle, you know that Maynard stands on the stage either behind something, or in these recent tours, he's been just kind of obscured, so he doesn't have any lights on him, just around him. And he was sort of wearing this, it looked like a sort of orangey suit, and his wig, of course, and kind of, you know, he's sort of in the background. So Billy's kind of out in the front of the stage. And the songs, it was the same, I think it was, I haven't checked the set list, it sounded like exactly the same set list as Brixton as well, so no surprises really. And it was fine, but it didn't really have that kind of rush when they did the earlier tour and they'd come back after all these years. I think for me, like the new songs, some of them sounded, like The Contrarian sounded a bit better because now I've kind of got used to them a bit more.
Did they play the same set list?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't like actually checked every single song, but it felt to me like exactly the same set list. From what I remembered. Like,
do the songs from Meudenon, do they have a particularly much bigger emotional resonance than the new songs when played live?
Yes, they do. Yeah. Like, and 13th Step, when you play those, I didn't cry this time, but still, when they started playing some of those songs, my heart did do a little, like, a little skip. And it was just a bit of a funny one, yeah, because it was kind of half empty, and there just wasn't really the atmosphere that you'd want. And the other thing was that Maynard did seem a bit tense. I don't know whether it was because it was in a half empty room, but he actually had a rant in the final song. They're in the cover of Balls to the Wall, and he kind of towards the end just sort of started ranting at a stagehand. I think initially he wanted some water and couldn't get it, and then he wanted someone to either sing into his microphone or turn up his vocals. I'm not sure which. There was meant to be a big scream at the end and it didn't happen, and he started kind of going, and it was having this kind of rant and just going, this isn't acceptable, and this is, you know, shit.
You could hear the rant.
He did a rant on stage, yeah.
Into the mic.
As the song was finishing. So people were still playing the instruments and he'd finished singing. Then he just did this rant into the mic at this person on stage.
Oh, which why I've never, you do that?
Which I've never seen before at Wembley. I've never seen
somebody... It's going to affect the atmosphere. I've seen people suddenly have a rant on stage and it's really affected the atmosphere of the gig.
Yeah, of course.
I've never seen
that's Axl Rose as fuck, isn't it?
I've seen people rant between songs and stuff. But I've never seen someone have an actual rant, like, sort of...
What are you doing?
I thought I was going to sneeze.
Jonathan just leapt across the room and ran into the corner.
I don't want to sneeze.
Have you seen a ghost or something?
Yeah. I think I'd be all right if I saw that. But I don't want to sneeze into the mic, but for your...
Yeah, I appreciate that.
For your hygienic benefit. Yeah, for the all benefit of our listeners.
Yeah, so it was just
metaphorical,
a bit,
chucking yourself under a grenade, that was.
It was a bit weird that he had a bit of a rant, and then afterwards kind of went to the after show, not to sound too wanky, but they just...
classic wanky L.
We went into this little sort of side room, and there were just a few people hanging around, and the band kind of came out and brought an iPad in and put some music on. Maynard wasn't anywhere to be seen. The other ones were kind of quite chill. Billy seemed pretty chill. But yeah, it was just a funny one. It was just a funny atmosphere. It didn't have the same excitement, and I'm a fan, and I didn't really feel moved. I felt a little bit disappointed, if I'm honest.
I mean, even without that other stuff, it's hard to feel moved in a half-empty arena,
yeah,
because it's going to be cavernous. The music's not going to resonate as hard, and yeah, you know, it just feels...
It did feel cavernous, and it did sound a bit weird, like it did. But I guess one of the things that counts in its favour is that they were selling plush octopuses at the merch stand.
That's amazing.
And I've got one.
Is a plural of octopus is
octopi?
It's octopi, isn't it?
I think you can choose.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's how English works.
I think you can choose between octopuses and octopi.
Fair enough.
But it actually looks a bit evil, and I'm a bit scared of it.
You got one then. Of course you did. Our bloody love sea creatures.
I thought it's one of my favourite creatures, and one of my favourite bands of all time have collaborated.
Isn't he eating one on the album art, though?
Yes, which is... gravely upsetting.
All I can say, Al, never see go and see Old Boy, the movie.
Oh god, yeah, don't watch that.
It'll upset you deeply.
Jonathan, you went out on a slightly different
I've seen a couple of times actually. Yeah, well, to the surprise of no one, I was back in Bergen last weekend.
Yeah, of course.
And,
is it really Norway if you can't find Jonathan in it?
Yeah, just find me there. And well, the first night I went to see Gulls Verd and Enslaved.
Wow, so do you want to talk about what Garl's Bird very briefly for people who aren't familiar with Garl's
Bird?
Yeah,
so everyone probably knows Garl from Gorgoroth. Mm-hmm. That band kind of broke up in acrimony between him and King on one side and the other guy, Infernus, on the other side. Whole big court case, Infernus won the case, he kept the Gorgoroth name, did a couple of albums with it, they were okay, nothing really much happened with them. Him and Tom formed a new band called Godseed. That split up, and now he's got a new set of people, one old member of Godseed, the band called Gulls Verd, and they've been playing for the last 3 years now, which mostly just old stuff, like stuff that Gulls been involved with. So stuff from Treldom, stuff from Gorgoroth, stuff from Godseed, and it's just old stuff. However, I did also get to hear the new album.
Oh, nice.
Which is...
But this is the first album that they've done.
The first Gulls Verd album. Which okay. Because I think they've only played one new song live.
Right.
And so it proves that it's not just a legacy project. And yeah, so they played Bergen quite a few times. They often have guest members. They've had... they had Einar from Vardruna on stage with them, of course.
Oh, nice.
Garl used to be a member of Vardruna. They've had Lindy from Vardruna on stage with them and various other members. This was kind of guest free, and it was a bit of a Bergen homecoming, because they were playing with Enslaved. And but they also had Vrid and a band that everyone's talking about at the moment called Hordem Rife.
Okay.
Like that's the big name in black metal that everyone's kind of talking about right now.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it was good. It was not the best Gulls Verd show I've ever seen. I think maybe because they played the Bergen too many times. It wasn't like massively busy. It was busy, but not. And normally when you see Gulls Verd play, if they play a festival, the minute he comes on, because he has so much stage presence, it's incredible. Yeah. And his voice, like, my God, there's so many different things you can do with his voice, and it's so powerful. and just roots you to the spot, and his presence just roots you to the spot. So every time I see them on a festival, it's just been like the next level from whoever's preceded them.
Amazing.
Like, and it's just like, this is what Blatton needs to be. It's like pulling something out from beyond. And it didn't quite get to that point till the end, and stayed for great. It's just the PA was a little bit underpowered. But yeah, it's just great to see those bands in their hometown.
And you said that you've heard a bit of the album. How's
I've
it?
Heard the full album.
Is it sounding similar to Girls?
No, not at all. It's I don't know how much I can say, but it's not what people were expecting.
Really? That's really interesting. Because, I mean, with like Girls' previous work, like the first time I ever saw Gorgoroth was supporting Cradle of Filth years and years ago, and to me Cradle of Filth were kind of I knew by that point they weren't like the epitome of black metal, but they came to kind of symbolise the gateway into
extreme music.
And then seeing Gorgoroth, who was supporting them, that was the first time I'd actually seen the like naked bloodied women tied to crosses on stage.
Oh yeah, there's one guy and one woman.
And like the kind of the classic like stereotypes that you read about. But actually seeing
sheep's
them all on stage,
well.
Yeah, sheep's heads, and like they were just all coarse painted up. They looked amazing, and it was, you know, to me that it symbolised what black metal was to me at that time.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to hear that you might be moving away from that.
Yeah.
Like, he personifies the idea of black metal to me. God,
yeah, but the thing is, as well is that Gala is such a mercurial character anyway. It's not just all he hears. So if you see Gull's Verd live, you understand like actually how versatile his voice is.
Mm.
And you know, you can do the black metal screech. You've heard his kind of very deep baritone with Vardruna.
Yep.
And so there's a lot of different voices he uses, and he says he's playing like different characters on the new album, none of which are black metal.
Interesting.
And none of the riffs are black metal.
Interesting. We'll have to take a deep dive into that in the future of Few of Metal.
But I tell you who also saw is last week. I think people are overlooking me if you don't not into this whole scene, but Graveyard.
Oh yeah.
So they've
been around for a few years now.
Yeah. So the last time they played was during Desert Fest, and they packed out Coco. So I love this band, and I've seen them like on every stage through every album tour, like playing a smaller venue.
Mm-hmm.
I remember they played The Underworld with another Swedish band of this similar ilk called Horizont, and I tell you what, like it was packed from like to all the way to the back. I've never seen such euphoria for both bands. Mm. And they played at Islington Academy, then they played Electric Ballroom. And the Electric Ballroom gig was just absolutely incredible too. Just the amount of love people have for this band.
So where did you see them this time?
This time they played the Scarlet.
Oh, okay. Well, so they are making a proper, you know, upward trajectory really.
Yeah, I mean, because they kind of had that sort of, they kind of broke up and they had the hiatus. But it was a very small period of breaking up. And it's just interesting because, you know, there's this whole kind of wave of like Swedish retro rock.
Yeah.
And it was like them and Horizons and Witchcraft and bands like Skanska Mord. And everyone was kind of talking about it. But they're the ones who've really seemed to, I mean, endured. And they're the ones who've seemed to really caught, like, you know, hit a nerve with people. Because it's so soulful what they do.
Mm.
And it's retro, but it's, there's a lot of kind of self-questioning in it. And it's just, his voice is incredible. And people have a genuinely emotional response to it. So it's, so the crowd there were absolutely just completely obsessed with it.
Amazing.
Yeah, again, poor sound, and you could tell that he was having issues with the sound guy. It's the Scarlet that often tends to be the case.
Yeah, sure.
But he didn't have a rant.
Good. less ego in Graveyard.
I forgot to mention Chelsea Wolfe as well, actually, who supported.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was cool.
Half empty arena. That's an interesting one.
Everyone was into it, though, and obviously the arena stage is massive, but they'd made a little like circle in the middle and like brought all their sort of equipment and themselves around in this little sort of huddle. So even though it was a big space, they kind of made it small where they were.
Yeah, because when we found out she was supporting Perfect Circle, we were a bit like, how's that going to go down? Because didn't she support Ministry as well?
Yeah.
Yeah,
cool,
I couldn't go to that because I was out of the country. But did you go? Did you
see her? Yeah, I did, yeah. And she was great then.
Yeah,
and,
no, really good.
But just, yeah, she hits this kind of frequency that's kind of like half awake, half asleep. And it's just, it's really mesmerising.
I call that Monday.
Yeah.
I call it Wednesday.
Oh, charming. Sorry that we're boring you here on the Metal Hammer podcast. Oh, wait, it's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
My joke didn't work.
I didn't.
We normally record on a Wednesday, alright? Don't judge me. There are Grammy nominations out.
Yay!
And they're actually not bad.
Go on.
Before we go into this, what do you guys think of the Grammys generally? There's this ongoing debate. Are they important to metal? Should we care if... I think we might have touched on this with the whole Code Orange thing last year.
I did a whole podcast on it once. I think my opinion was that I don't care too much, but at the same time, excuse me, mainstream people sit up and take a look at it, so we should get represented in it so people can see what metal is like and hear metal and be exposed to it. So that's my opinion.
The thing is, people forget that every country has their own kind of Grammys. And I would say that the Scandinavian metal categories are much more metal than this one. In Bergen, they have the venue called The Garage, which is sadly no more. All the bands like Enslaved or whoever would win a Grammy, they donate it to the bar, and they'd use it as either bar.
That's awesome.
They'd use them as either beer taps or handles on the toilet doors.
That's such a good idea.
No,
I think Velatak win one of those Grammys or something.
Yeah, probably. Or Watain won a Swedish Grammy.
Really?
Enslaved won them. I'm sure other really underground, you know. I think in Norway, metal means something different than it does in maybe the UK, perhaps.
It certainly does.
Because, I mean, I've been looking at the list, and I think it's pretty middle of the road. And I think that...
Well, and kind of.
As a whole, and then I think that the bands that they put in that are less middle of the road, it just seems a little bit tokenistic, like they're just filling slots.
Well, let's go through this. So, one thing I don't really understand is that you've got Best Rock Performance, which seems to be for songs, and then you've got Best Rock Song, which is definitely songs, and then you've also got Best Rock Album. I don't know how it works. Anyway, so some of the nominations for this year's Grammys. Best Rock Performance, Arctic Monkeys, 4 out of 5. It's depressingly predictable. Chris Cornell, When Bad Does Good. I don't even know what that is. Is that the greatest...
It's the single that they released, yeah.
Okay, I see. The Fever, 333, Made in America, what song? Greta Van Fleet, Highway Tune, that seems inevitable, really. It's one of the biggest hype bands in the world at the moment. Hailstorm, Uncomfortable, that's cool. Best Metal Performance nominations. Between the Buried and Me, Condemned to the Gallows. Death Heaven, Honeycomb. Obviously they picked the least metal Death Heaven era to go through. High on Fire, Electric Messiah. High on Fire, Grammy nominated. That's so bizarre.
Yeah, I know. But that's the thing. So in the context of it, it seems bizarre. So it just sounds like, okay, we need to put in someone who's actually genuinely heavy.
Yeah. This one's called Trivium for Betrayer.
Yeah.
One of the best albums they've done off the back of I was tweeting about this the other day. I think if you pick a band who have had one of the best album cycles of the last 5 or so years, I'd look straight at Trivium. I think it's amazing what they've done on the...
Love that record so much.
And now they're Grammy nominated. I think that's richly deserved. Under Oath on My Teeth rounds up the best metal. I've never been bothered about Under Oath.
Me either.
They seem to be one of those bands that bands like.
I think they're really important to a lot of people at a certain time period that came into them and just got obsessed with them, but I sort of missed that obsession, and now I'm just a bit it's okay. But I don't feel obsessed with it.
So who do you pick out of those metal performances? Who do you like to see win? Between the Buried and Me, Def Heaven, High on Fire, Trivium.
Trivium. I mean, brilliant. I'm still not quite sure.
Sure.
I'm still not quite sure what best metal performance means, though.
I think it just means song.
Yeah.
But then, like I said, there's two rock song ones, because you've got best rock performance. And then there's also the best rock song category, which, again, is Greta Van Fleet for a different song, Black Smoke Rising. 21 Pilots, Jumpsuit. Bring Me the Horizon for Mantra. St. Vincent, Mass Education. I don't know who that is.
St. Vincent, she's great.
Lady.
She's a kind of avant pop. I think she's really good.
Well,
really
she's rock, according to the Grammys. So, and Ghost with Rats.
Yeah.
That is by... I haven't heard the St. Vincent track admittedly, but that is by a margin the best song out of there.
Mantra's great, though.
Yeah, Mantra's good, but come on, Rats.
That's
got to be the best rock single of 2018.
It's so catchy.
It's ridiculous. Best Rock Album nominees: Alice in Chains for Rainier Fog,
yes,
Fall Out Boy for Mania, Ghost for Prequel. Might as well just leave it there, really. No, there's also
Scott's not here today. We can say what we got.
Yeah, Greta Van Fleet, From the Fires, again inevitable. Weezer, Pacific Daydream.
I wasn't really that plussed with the Alice in Chains album.
I really loved it.
I just thought it was. It just hit a kind of a median note, and it just didn't really vibrate from there much.
I just heard it and felt like I'd already known it, and I don't know whether that's just because I really love Alice in Chains and the quality of William's vocals and Jerry's guitar. I don't know, it's just I felt like I'd already kind of known the record before I heard it, and now I just listen to it and just really enjoy it. And I put it quite high in my top 20, I can't remember where, but yeah. I really like it. But I've heard people around the office say, like, I don't know why, you know, people from classic rock and stuff, I don't know why people are kind of particularly into it. And
I think the general consensus is at least it's definitely better than The Devil Put Dinosaurs Here. But I think that record's all right. I think Rainier Frog's good. I just think with Alice in Chains, I think this era is always going to be in the shadow of
Black Gets
Way to Blue, because that's a classic album.
It's just brilliant.
It's one of the best comeback albums, maybe the best comeback album that's ever been written, to be honest. So they're always good. They're just never going to do an album as good as that again. You know, sometimes you just know.
You never know, though.
You never know, but you kind of do, because when there's so much emotional impact involved, it's like the same with bands like, you know, Behemoth and The Satanist. And
I know.
That's actually really grown on me, that album.
So I also think, you know, the new Behemoth album. I think the new Behemoth album's great, and I think it's the album they need to make, and I think it's the perfect follow-up, but I don't know. When a band has a certain emotional tidal wave running behind them.
Yeah, if that had come out before.
And they hit it on the album, you just think, like, you can't really beat that, though.
No.
I do think The High on Final Nomination is cool, and that song's about a Lemmy, and a dream he had about Lemmy, and the artwork always reminds me of the Ice King from Adventure Time.
Yeah, High on Fire always have amazing. always have amazing artwork.
I mean, look, it's like,
proper Neanderthal metal.
You've got. Across all these, you've got, like, Chris Cornell, The Fever, Hailstorm, Between the Buried and Me, Deaf Heaven, High on Fire, Trivium, Bring Me, Ghost, Alice in Chains. I mean, there's a lot of really good bands that I think are very deserving of a nod, you know.
Yeah,
deserving of a bit of recognition. And if you're not going to lose record sales by getting a Grammy nomination or winning a Grammy, are you? Your profile's only going to go up from something like that. I'd love for Ghost to win for prequel. I think that'd be awesome.
Being realistic about it as well, there's a lot of stuff there that you could get into if you're not necessarily a fan of heavy music. I mean, you know, on the one hand, maybe that's not such a good thing because it's not like metal, but on the other hand, it's kind of cool because people might go down a road with these things. They might not have heard Trivium or High on Fire or Ghost or, you know, whatever, and then they might go and find some more stuff that's heavy.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's good. It just for me, it just kind of reeks of committee chosen, and I think it seems like pretty much every band is there to fill a slot. I think the one actual curveball in there, which I'm really pleased about, is St. Vincent. But that's not it. She's not in our world, but she's still great.
That's cool. Yeah, I know what you mean. It is written by committee, isn't it? So But at the same time, you kind of think, I can imagine that, like, Matt Pike would see this and just go, what? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I think with Trivium, it feels right because they've had this amazing comeback album and they had such a great year off the back of it. Did the Hammer tour, been on magazine covers, you know, they've absolutely smashed it. So that kind of feels right that they've been recognised for that. But yeah, I know what you mean. It does feel kind of tokenistic and stuff. But it depends who wins it.
It also, but the thing is, like, it may also be a comment on the year that's gone past. I mean, I found it, like, this year, there was one probable my album of the year. But I didn't feel there was one album, and of course it was, you know, it wasn't actually my album of the year. Something came in at the last minute that that's my album of the year. But other than that, it was really hard to choose what was going to be. You know, there wasn't like one like, oh my god, this is this year's record. I don't think there was that many like.
Weirdly, there was two for me for that, because when I heard the Priest album, I was like, this is going to be my album of the year. This is ridiculous. Judas Priest has just turned up and put out a classic metal record. I can't believe what. Actually, it's quite funny that they're not. They're the kind of band that could have got recognition in the Grammys. I don't know if they've ever been Grammy nominated. You would have assumed they had at some point, but.
Yeah, I think maybe they probably think Judas Priest are uncool, which shows what they actually know about metal.
Yeah, that would make sense. But I mean, it's weird because Ghost is unquestionably the standout story from
the metal world.
And you know, you always get people going, they're not metal, but they're from the metal world. They are born of our culture. They didn't come from fucking hip hop.
Absolutely.
And you know, that's been recognised. But yeah, stuff like Alice in Chains, that's kind of like, whatever you think of the album, that sounds like someone's gone, oh, Alice in Chains, yeah, I remember them. They've got a new album out, we should probably nominate them.
Yeah, it's just also like, you know, putting Bring Me in best rock category just seems a bit weird.
Where would you
put
them?
Are rock.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, they're.
I mean, compared to 21 Pilots.
Yeah.
You know, I think you've got to put Britney still in rock. Like, the conversation about whether they're metal or not has now been put to bed. But
yeah.
I think, you know, Rant is a rock song. It's just a very sanitised one.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Al? You look unimpressed.
No, I think I was just thinking about Trivium and how much it's reminding me that I was really obsessed with Sever the Hand.
You really were.
I'm going to go and listen to that after this.
Well, if I was picking winners, I would pick... I was going to say The Fever, but they've only just got it.
Yeah, that's the thing. They think, oh, here's... It feels like they think, oh, here's a buzz band, we should put them in. But literally, they've just... The album's not even out.
That song is so catchy, though.
It is really good. And I know it's off the back of Let Live, and it would be an amazing thing for them to win it. Yeah, no, I'll go with The Fever for that.
I think they kind of have to give it to
Chris
Cornell.
I think that's the most exciting.
You can't nominate Chris Cornell and then not let him win it.
Well, it'll be a nice touch, wouldn't it, I guess.
Fair point.
Trivium, Ghost. I suppose Ghost can't win. Yeah, two Ghosts. Two Ghosts and a Trivium, and I'll be happy with that. it's weird how... I know all awards are like this because you go on the 12 months, but like some of these felt like they were ages ago.
I think
Made in America come out? Was that even this year?
I feel like the same with Trivium as well, isn't it? Like that record came out the year before because it's always like it's always looking back at the year, and then when you actually win them, it's even further down the line.
It's funny, isn't
it's
it?
One of those weird timescale things that never quite works out. Anything.
It's December, and I'm pretty sure that Trivium album. And maybe they put out a single
it'll be that.
I think it's cool that they nominated Between the Buried and Me.
Yeah, again.
Like, that doesn't.
You never would have thought that band.
Yeah, that's kind of the other curveball, but they, you know, they're deserving. They're
really
imaginative band.
We will see. Grammys infamously have a habit of fucking it up when it comes to metal, so we'll see what happens. Hopefully, some deserving bands will get some awards. There's a new supergroup out.
There is.
That's a fact.
Deadland Ritual.
So this is actually pretty good, to be honest. Geezer Butler, Black Sabbath legend, one of the greatest bassists of all time. Matt Sorum, former Guns N' Roses drummer. Billy Idol guitarist, Steve Stevens. I was looking up Steve Stevens' other stuff because I know he played on some classic Billy Idol albums. He played the guitar solo on Dirty Diana by Michael Jackson.
Fun fact.
That is legacy affirming to me. I mean, Flame is one of the greatest punk rock icons of all time, isn't it enough? Playing the solo on one of the best Michael Jackson songs ever, what a legend. And the singer from Apocalypse is in there, which is good for him. But yeah, I was listening to the new single and it's actually pretty good. It's honestly pretty good.
Tell us about it. What does it sound like?
It just sounds like a kind of like jammy, riffy, you're trying to spot Black Sabbath in it because of Geezer being in the band, but there is kind of a bit of a Sabbath-y vibe for it, but it's more polished and more kind of rock than metal. But yeah, it's just a really good, quite heavy, hook-driven rock song. I honestly think it's pretty decent.
See, the thing I have an issue with these kind of supergroups, especially with like kind of veteran supergroups, is like, you know, you get these bands and bands have been around for decades. And they have this magic to them you only get from like, and fluidity, you only get from like playing with each other, playing together with each other. I'm trying to phrase that actually.
No one would have noticed, but
now yeah, you just dug your own hole there.
Yeah. But you know, but we're playing together for for many years. And so you have all the expertise, but you don't have that kind of communication when you have a super group like this with bands of that, so you tend to like get the worst aspects of that kind of musicianship, which is a bit showiness sometimes.
Yeah, of course.
Without the kind of the depth of feeling and that kind of intuition and that telepathy you get with like, you know, bands that have been.
You get a few exceptions to that though, don't you? You know, the first Velvet Revolver album was a cracker, and the first Audio Slave album was a classic in my opinion.
I was obsessed with both of those.
And the Velvet Revolver was kind of cooler, I guess, but I think that that first Audio Slave album especially is just amazing.
Just
so
awesome.
Good. And kind of going into what you were saying, Sal, it's like, I think the reason that album worked is because Tom Morello's playing was slightly different for a lot of it. It wasn't just like big, funky, kind of hip-hop influenced heavy, not like heavy metal, but heavy metal infused all the way through. There was like grungier stuff in there. There was kind of soulful bluesy stuff in there. But yeah, I think this is good. Although, I do have a question. So Matt Sorum's obviously had nothing to do for the last couple of years, and now he's doing the super group. Why is he in the fucking Guns N' Roses reunion? I don't understand.
Money?
It must be a money thing, or it must be like he's not happy with what's going on there, or he wasn't invited. Maybe Axl wanted his guy in there. But I always wondered why. I understand why Izzy wasn't in it, because Izzy doesn't like touring and he's not really about that life anymore. So I get why Izzy wasn't a part of it. Obviously, Stephen Adler's had his problems over the years, so he's probably not the best choice to dunk on a stadium world tour right now. Matt Sorum, no excuse. Why is he not in that?
Not that we know of.
Well, not that we know of, no. We don't. I am absolutely speculating, but to me, this does confirm that not wanting to play drums is not the reason he's not in that band right now. So yeah, what's going on there? Anyway, yeah, Dead and Ritual's new single, it's up on Metal Hammer at the moment. It's really good. You should check it out.
I will, Merlin.
Good. You go do that. And Slayer have added more US dates to their final tour that will never finish.
the longest farewell
ever. No, they are. I mean, I think they're just hitting up territories for the final time, aren't they? Like, yeah. Download next year is going to be the last UK show. I know they've just announced Heavy Montreal, which is going to be the last Quebec show or something. So they're doing more final US dates. So if you're listening from the US and you haven't seen Slayer yet, for fuck's sake, go see them.
It's also, I mean, it's pretty heavyweight support.
Yeah, they really are picking these bills, aren't they? Look at this. Lamb of God, Amon Amarth and Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah.
Not messing around. Love it.
Yeah, but I think it's really important. It's really great that, you know, the last tour they got really old school bands like Obituary to play with them. And I'm sure, and they schooled everyone. And it's just like, man, it just shows you what you can do with three riffs and a lot of imagination.
Yeah, definitely. It's nice. Yeah, I agree. It's got, I mean, you know, Slayer playing big venues, and these aren't exactly exciting in the sense of brand new bands who like need a big leg up.
Yeah,
but all bands are capable of filling big spaces.
Yeah, it's not the tour for that, I think.
I agree with
this
you.
This is like, you know, these bands kind of, you know, they give weight to the gravitas of the occasion.
Yeah, and also I think if you're a bit of a weekend warrior metalhead, you haven't seen Slayer for like 10 years plus, you decide you want to go because it's the last ever tour and you're not as familiar with these bands as you might assume they are. You see Lamb of God for the first time, or you see Amon Amarth for the first time, you know, you've got your steps to go and check out what you want to do next, because not everybody is, you know, sitting on Spotify waiting for the new release.
Don't want on Slayer's file, you know, like the response Slayer supports normally get, you don't really want that on your final tour.
No.
And you're not going to get that with these bands.
You want some real, like Lamb of God turn up and play like Walk With Me in Hell, and no one's going to watch that and go, ooh.
Yeah.
Wimpy music.
No one's going to shout Slayer during their set.
No, you best not, because they're one of the best metal bands ever.
Have we mentioned that the Slayer issue's on sale right now?
It is! Nice segue, Elle.
Seamless.
If you want to find out just how good their final shows are, and they really are, by the way. No, you can see Phil Demmel playing with them as well, of course. We didn't even talk about that. Demmel's in Slayer at the moment. He landed on his fucking feet, didn't he?
I mean, yeah. What a thing to go from Machine Head to Slayer.
Unbelievable. So yeah, I can imagine that will be jolly good fun. So you should all go. You should all go read the issue, you get excited for Slayer, and then go see Slayer.
Yay.
That's exactly what you should do. Shall we take some reader questions?
Yes.
www.facebook.com/MetalHammerReaders.
Yeah.
I'll start with this one.
Go on then.
This is Scott Sitompil.
Anyone?
Scott Sitompil, I would have said.
Yeah. Sitompil. Sorry, Scott. Please forgive our rubbish attempt at...
You've also put it in really tiny type and my
fault. Well, that's my fault, not Scott's fault.
Scott, he asked, what is the weirdest thing you've ever eaten? He also says, I once ate dog. I woofed it down.
I think we should just not answer his question for
because
that
of his pun.
That's diabolically bad. Scott. I thought better of you.
I respect his pun.
Good. What's the weirdest thing? Jonathan's been around some territories.
Well, anyone who knows me knows I'm kind of pretty fearless when it comes to food. So I mean, I've eaten things like, in Mexico I had crickets, very nice actually, but quite salty. I've eaten scorpion.
I'm shitty with you.
Yeah.
But, that was a fresh joke, by the way, if you got that.
But better than Scott's, possibly. But that's probably the weirdest thing and the most gross thing I've ever eaten. Was, I thought, when in Iceland, Mark's all do this?
No.
Fermented shark.
No.
Just to be clear, Elle's not sad because it sounds disgusting. Elle's sad because the shark got hurt.
Can I just say that the shark got the upper hand?
No, well, he didn't.
He definitely did.
Well, he got the last laugh.
Again, unless it's a shark going spanking around.
Yeah. So it came as these tiny little cubes. I thought, okay, how bad can this be? I mean, I know it smells a bit of ammonia, but these things...
It's like eggy smell, isn't it?
No, it's kind of cleaning fluid. It's like, it smells like piss. It's like cat piss, basically. It smells like cat
Why
piss.
Do they eat? Does anyone like it?
Stop killing sharks.
Well, you know, a lot of fermented stuff, it smells, it's supposed to smell worse. But you know there's that fish that comes in a can, and you have to open it underwater.
I've not heard of that.
Yeah, because if you open it in the fresh air, you will immediately chuck all your insides out.
Wow.
Yeah, and people eat that. I enticed one member of Conan to join me in fermented shark. So tiny little cubes, tiny, teeny little cubes of this stuff. And they give you a little shot of Brenovan, which is an aquavit. But my God, like, if you want your mouth like overtaken by the overwhelming sensation of ammonia and death, go do it. It's just like the overwhelming sensation of ammonia and death that no amount of Brenovan, which is pretty potent, can ever wash away.
That's great.
Like physically or psychologically.
Disgusting.
It's
because it makes me want to try it just to see how bad it is.
Well, but it comes in different forms. So actually, it wasn't the first time I had it. Actually, I had it when it was dried, and that was okay. I went to this festival, Eisenflug, and there was some drunken idiot, had a blister pack of a huge pack of it, and he opened it up and it really stank. Your nose had this kind of like, your map of your nose was just like, there was this neon glowing light that would just lead you to him because it stank everywhere. But I'm sure like, in a, so that it probably doesn't taste as bad, and he was eating it, probably doesn't taste as bad as the ammonia and death version I had.
Oh,
but it was great. Yeah, just it's Chris Fielding from Conan, and he's never forgiven me. I
probably wrote a song about it.
That's enough material for like the next three albums.
What about you, Elle?
Nothing like that. I'm actually not like Jonathan. I don't like eating things that are weird. It freaks me out. I guess.
Can I just say as well that you really freaked out over Jonathan eating shark, but you didn't blink at Scott eating a dog? The question.
I mean, yeah, that's not.
Without going into, you know, very valid conversations about that kind of thing. But
dog tastes like mutton, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'm not thrilled, but, you know, I am a meat eater, so. But I don't eat seafood, which is probably why I'm more grossed out by the shark thing.
Wow.
But yeah, I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't eat a dog, I'll be honest. weirdest thing, probably garlic ice cream, which is not that
is
weird.
It nice?
No, good. It's horrible.
Oh. It's not. It's good. It's great. I've had it in garlic and shots.
Yeah, that's where I
You're
had
getting
it.
Getting garlic and shots.
That's where I had
it. Oh, well, I'm going to try me some of that.
They do a garlic pecan pie, which isn't quite as good, but garlic beer is really good.
No, I mean I had garlic ice cream and I just didn't like it. I'd just rather have a nice flavour of ice cream. I'd rather have salted caramel or chocolate or
chocolate
chip.
It's not flavour.
Mint.
Chocolate or chocolate chip. Your palate will
It's not garlic flavoured ice cream. It's vanilla ice cream with garlic bits in it.
But it tastes of garlic.
Yeah, it's got garlic bits in it, but it's vanilla ice cream with garlic bits in it.
Yeah, but I didn't like it, so.
Oh, so it's garlic chip ice cream.
Yeah.
It's not garlic ice cream, it's garlic chip.
I had it. I thought it was great.
All right. This is a nice question from Ben Wilmot. Oh, I didn't know. Well, I've done frogs and snails in France.
Yes. That's one thing I won't eat frogs. Two things I won't eat frogs.
Oh, too far.
Well, it really destroys the environment, and the way they kill them is really outrageous. And I won't eat frog, well, for obvious reasons.
Well, you know. Again, meat is whatever. I've eaten scorpion because it was in, you know, when you get those like alcoholic like spirits that have.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
in. I've eaten a few of those things.
Yeah, the scorpion I had.
I've had the tequila worm as well. Didn't hallucinate though.
Oh, no shit.
So.
But yeah, the scorpion I had was in the bottom. Was a bottom marvel.
Yeah, just tastes like crunchy vodka.
Yeah, it doesn't taste anything. It's been a vodka for ages.
That's right, really. Yeah, can't match Fermented Shark, I'm afraid.
I'm still waiting to do my true Norwegian meal, which is Smålhalla, which is the sheep's head.
Ugh.
Jesus Christ.
I don't mind things looking like, I like things to look like what they are.
Well, that's honourable in a freaky way, I guess. Ben Wilmot says, I think I'm right in saying it's 2 years almost to the week since Metal Hammer was initially closed down before being resurrected again. It's actually 2 years on December 19th, isn't it?
Yeah.
December 19th.
Is it 17th time?
First off, congrats for taking the mag to a much stronger place. Very kind of you to say, Ben. And secondly, are you able to preview or tease any special stuff you've got planned for 2019? Features on a new country, plans to put a new band on the cover, etc. Firstly, yeah, thank you very much for saying that. For people who weren't aware, Metal Hammer and Classic Rock and Prog's previous owners went out of business 2 years ago, and there's a very scary period for all of us for a little while there. But there was a massive swell of support at Orange Goblin, famously, Ben from Orange Goblin famously started that fundraiser that loads of people raised awareness for. And yeah, we came back and we've been back ever since, and it's been bloody great. And we really appreciate everyone's support for that. It's been amazing. And we never take it for granted either, because it is something, I don't know about you guys, I do think about it when it gets to December.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because once you've been totally, through that, it's like, you know, it's not something you can take for granted, really, is it? But yeah, in terms of next year, obviously we can't really be telling you what we're putting on our cover, because that ruins a surprise, and there's lots of other magazines and brands out there that want to talk to the bands we talk to. But you know, there will be some new bands on covers at some point. I'm absolutely sure about that. We are doing something. We've got a couple of things with in terms of other countries, aren't we?
We have got a couple of things. Again, I don't want to ruin the surprise, but look out for the next two issues. They've got features from what am I talking about? They've got features about bands from different countries.
Yes.
So
one of which we're kind of covering the better part of a whole continent, I think you could put
it
that way.
Yeah, a group of fair? There's a group of countries in one, and then a specific country in another.
You've discovered Atlantis, and it's teeming. Well, Eleanor's discovered Atlantis, and it's
that'd
teeming.
That'd be our dream.
And it's teeming with metal bands.
Shark warrior metal bands.
Oh, bands that play under the ocean.
Yeah, no, we're not talking about underground, we're talking about underwater metal.
I would be straight there, number one reporter on that scene.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's loads of stuff though. As you've seen, we've got the TV pilots we've been working on, so we're waiting to see who's going to pick that up before we move forward with the Metal Hammer TV show. We're working on some new events, and some very cool venues have been in touch with us to put on some shows that we're going to be looking into doing in the coming months. We'll be taking the podcast into new places, we'll be taking the mag into new places. We're planning some very cool gifts and giveaways that will be coming with future issues of Metal Hammer as well, which is great. So yeah, it's exciting to be here, and we're always happy to be here, and we appreciate everyone's support.
Yeah,
so
I just want to say in that period over Christmas and when Team Rock went under, it was like standing at the edge of the Grand Canyon. Your brain like couldn't take in the support that we got. It was it was actually an incredible couple of weeks.
It was.
I was just standing there, just go, like I can't tell you how much it meant, and how much, like, you know, even just, you know, the actual emotional support sort of carried all of us through, and I don't think any of us will ever forget it, and we're all like marked by it completely.
It really did, and it's something that honestly continues whenever we get messages about what Metal Hammer means to them, and you know, appreciating how hard it is to put a magazine together in 2018/19. You know, we do have less staff members than we did, we do have smaller budgets than we did. Magazines around the world are selling a fraction of what they did. That's just the way the industry is now. So when you get to meet people or chat to people, and they tell you about the stuff you've been working on that they liked, and they're enthusiastic, even if it's stuff they didn't like, but they're enthusiastic to tell you about it because they're passionate about Metal Hammer, it's amazing. You know, you can never get tired of that kind of stuff. So thank you, everybody. Someone else take a question. I just got all deep and thoughtful then.
Sabrina Nelson says, have you ever interviewed Galactic Cowboys or Sonata Arctica? Very specific question.
It is. Metal Hammer has, both those bands, numerous times. I haven't.
No. Weird thing about Sonata Arctica is that, I don't get them, but I know a lot of black metal fans who really like Sonata Arctica, and I still don't understand why.
Fair enough.
They also like, there's a lot of weird bands that a lot of like people in the black metal scene seem to really like. Muse as well too. But,
Muse. Oh, interesting.
I suppose experimentation. They do a lot of different things.
Yeah, I mean, Muse are like... just I haven't liked really liked anything they've done for a long time now, but I do still, I think with them we take Muse for granted a little bit, in the sense that people don't appreciate how nuts and out there they are by mainstream rock standards.
Yeah, he's an amazing guitarist as well. I did get to see him live once actually at Wembley, and it was pretty spectacular.
I've seen him a few times. I saw them at Reading years ago and it was really good. I saw them at Close Out Glastonbury and it was pretty epic, I have to say. Black Holes and Revelations is my favourite Muse album, because that's a bit more metal in places.
Mm.
It's really good. So yeah, we do like Muse, to answer your question, Sabrina.
Yeah, which I'm sure is not entirely answering your question.
But no, I'm never interviewed any of those bands out.
No, just no. The same as you, like being on magazines where we have interviewed them, but I've never personally spoken to them.
Fair enough. Brendan Crabb asks, prediction time, we're going to be held accountable for this in a year.
No.
So answer well. Brendan Crabb says, what will be the first great metal album of 2019?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of albums coming out, some of which I've heard, some of which I've yet to hear, but I'm sure will be amazing, or are amazing.
Are you allowed to say?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I think it's no secret that, the Rotten Christ album's coming out, and it's massive. Mm. I remember, when Theogonia came out, and I was looking for something to put on the cover of my publication. And it was just like, oh my god, this is the first great record of that particular year. And yeah, they're bringing out a new album. I just felt like my chest was going to swell and burst. Mm. And this new album, it does pretty much the same similar thing. The album I'm most looking forward to is pretty predictable for me. Is the Hyland album?
Oh, brilliant! Yeah,
that's one I'm kind of most looking forward to hearing this year.
You've been in the studio with them, haven't you?
No, actually, we have Christina Wenig.
Oh, Christina Wenig, okay, cool.
And what's
my mistake?
She's actually going to the studio on what's today?
The day is Tuesday today.
She's actually in the studio with them as we speak.
That's amazing. Ah. Cool. Yeah. So you can read about the update on the new Hyland album. If you're not aware of Hyland, they are a phenomenon in the underground at the moment, and. Is it in the issue out now, or is it in the issue about to come out that we've got a big thing on their live show?
About to come out.
Yeah. Okay, so in a couple of weeks we've got a big look at their live show, which you really have to see.
Yeah. I went down to see him. Like, you know, who sells out venues everywhere on their first tour?
Yeah,
and the level of devotion to this band. Someone described it, but it's not really the case because they're very different. But Vajuna on Mushrooms.
Brilliant.
So there's this whole kind of shamanic pagan thing going on, but just the most amazing, spectacular stage show, and it does do something to your brain.
I think it is the one out now. We were flicking through it, weren't we? There's a big picture.
There is, yeah. It is out right now, so go get it now. Now. It's that time of year, Christmas. We are putting together about 5 issues at once, so it gets a bit crazy. But yeah, it's really, really good.
What's your choice then? 2019? Well,
I think I'm not supposed to say that I've heard it yet, so... I mean, I've made some notes here. I think I've not heard any of these albums, but I'm gagging to hear the While She Sleeps album because I love everything they do. And the best thing about While She Sleeps is that I still don't think they've made their best album yet, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, I still think they've got more in the tank. I love the single. So, yeah, I can't wait to hear So What. I think that'll be a shout. I've got Code Orange down here as well. That's obviously going to be one everyone's very interested in after Forever. Interested to hear if the Puppy album merits the 85,000 years it feels like it's taken for them to actually get it out there. Whether it'll be great or not is another matter, but interesting to hear how that sounds. And I know it sounds really random, but I've put In Flames down here purely because they put out a bit of a snippet a few weeks ago of some of the stuff they've been working on, and it sounds really heavy again. And I've liked just about everything In Flames have ever done. I think they're one of the greatest metal bands of all time. I haven't liked the last couple of albums. I've not really liked where they're taking their sound now. But I've got a bit of a funny feeling about it. I feel like they might be about to blindside people. And I've generally not heard anything more than anyone else. But
I still really like Green Reed to Remain.
Oh yeah, I mean I love it. I think they.
I don't mind some of their poppy stuff. Not the last couple of albums, but in the same way that I loved Soulworks around the time of Figure Number 5 and the albums did after.
Yeah, exactly. They're a great band. That new album's really good as well. They've got a new album out.
I mean, out of all those kind of bands, the one I genuinely truly love is Soulworks. Yeah. I love his voice. They have a particular like drum sound that I really love. Great, just best melodies.
Well, you should check out Verkleiten, is it called?
Yeah.
You saw it?
Yeah, this one's a little bit. Yeah, I've heard it. It's slightly different, but I still really like it. But sure.
That all said, anyway.
You know what mine's going to be.
Go on then.
No, you can just guess it.
Your album of the year?
It's the first. The question is the first great metal album of 2019. I don't know when it's coming out.
Ramstein?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know when it's coming out, but if they've got those shows on New Year, I've got to think it's coming soon, and we've waited for so long, and I'm so excited to hear it.
I don't think that's a foregone conclusion. That's going to be a great album, though.
It's been like
they've been out of the game a long time, and the last one was like all right.
I'm excited.
Maybe it's for Alistair was all right, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. I'm excited, so...
Good, so yeah. You should be. Well, I've heard an album from a young extreme metal band that I already think are brilliant, but what I've heard of their new stuff is going to smash everyone to bits in 2019, and I think it's going to drop in the first half of the year, and if it does, it's going to tear the face off everybody else around that time. So. That's my prediction.
Hold on to your faces.
Probably can, yeah, a few people can probably guess what it is, but it's unbelievable. Elliot Lever, didn't I ask the last one? I did, didn't I? Someone else asked this one.
Okay, Elliot Lever Democratic asks, who would you like to see cover Christmas Carol, and which carol should they do?
I just put Gigi Allen, God rest you, merry gentlemen.
I was on a similar track. I wanted an Anthrax to do Silent Night.
Nice, nice. Chuck Beatty did a really good Silent Night on that heavy metal Christmas albums that came out. Songs that came out.
I don't think metal bands should do a Christmas. I think the only Christmas Carol thing I kind of like, probably because his state at the time, was Bowie and Bing Crosby doing...
Oh yeah, that was weird.
yeah. What was it? It was there was a little drummer boy, but there were two. I actually have the 7-inch of that at home.
Amazing.
It's the only Christmas, apart from Merry Christmas Charlie Brown by Vince Guaraldi Trio, they're the only two Christmas records I own.
Well, thanks to someone in a Secret Santa a couple of years ago, I've got a KFC vinyl set. I've got a KFC Christmas vinyl set. It's so weird, like KFC Christmas songs. Thanks, Jonathan. One of the weirdest things ever. What about you, Al? Anyone you want to see do Christmas carols?
Well, I haven't seen this question before now, so I don't have time to think, but what about if Rammstein...
You should have been thinking about this anyway, because it's such an obvious question.
What about if Rammstein did Away in a Manger?
In German.
Till sing sweetly about the baby Jesus in German, yeah.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd watch that. That's it for this week, thank God. Next week we're going to do a bumper Christmas podcast. We're off for the week of Christmas, so we're going to do an extra long podcast to see you through those lonely couple of weeks without us. We're going to be doing our big review of the year. We're going to be picking some of the albums through the year that we've loved, some of the moments that have defined 2018, our favourite gigs, and a whole lot more of that. It's going to be good.
Did you just say our big review of the year?
Did I?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, it's good. I was going to try and review it, and I can't be bothered. So come back for our big review of the year next week. Don't forget to rate the podcast on iTunes and Acast if that's what you listen to. We're also on Spotify if you want to switch over to that as well. And we're going to be bringing out, speaking of 2019 plans, we're going to be bringing out more platforms for the podcast to be on moving forward. It's very, very exciting. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.